now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Today, for part of the segment, I will be talking more about the Coudenhove-Kalergi agenda to flood the white Caucasian world with raping, demon-infested, entity-infested immigrants. There's been some interesting developments in that regard, and it also behooves us to go back and talk about the Breivik shooting, alleged shooting in Norway back, I believe, in 2011, because it ties into this story, this ongoing developing story. One of our theses here at the Cosmic Switchboard Show, and also here on Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars, is that we are already in the fourth dimension. Boy, howdy. And a quick reading of a headline that I found on InfoWars. I go on to InfoWars every once in a while to see what the surface level types are fretting and wringing their hands about. Interesting headline. Swedish Liberal Youth Party wants to legalize. I don't know why I'm laughing. Okay, stop, rewind, play. Swedish Liberal Youth Party wants to legalize necrophilia and child porn. Nothing to laugh about. I'm just laughing at the lunacy of it all. But again, this is an example of the fourth dimension in your face. The fourth dimension has been regarded for a long time by mystics and seers and whatnot as a place where all these negative, marauding, and parasitic entities are just running amok, and every now and then, and sometimes quite frequently, they cling on to humans in our third dimension and harass the humans, mess with them, torment them, or use them as a means to torment others, as a vehicle, as a medium, if you will, to cause problems for others. And the problems are really exacerbated when the people in the positions of power and influence are themselves entity-infested and working towards a hive consciousness agenda. So here we are in InfoWars. Swedish Liberal Youth Party wants to legalize necrophilia and child porn. And the quote reads, "If you are against necrophilia, you are not liberal." Well, all liberal means is socialist, cultural Marxist, commie, genocidal maniac anyway. Let me read a bit about from the article. The Liberal Youth League says it wants to make Sweden a more tolerant society, as if already being overrun by all these raping immigrants, demon and entity-infested immigrants, isn't tolerant enough. The Liberal Youth League says it wants to make Sweden a more tolerant society by endorsing, quote, ruthless mass immigration, unquote, necrophilia, and even child pornography. This has got the fingerprints of the tribalist collectivists, the Talmudic types, written all over it. Yes, really, if you thought you'd heard it all in terms of Sweden as the progressive basket case of Europe, then think again. During a tweet storm, the youth group made it plain its desire to see Sweden adopt the euro single currency and join NATO, but the organization's social policies were the real eyebrow raisers. If you are against necrophilia, you are not liberal. For those who don't know, necrophilia is having sex with dead people. How progressive. The LUF also wants to open borders to ruthless mass immigration and is calling for the legalization of, quote, cartoon child pornography, polygamy, and incest. The group has also previously called for the legalization of sex with animals. Now, we've made the point here again and again at the Cosmic Switchboard Show that there's a spiritual, supernatural dynamic to all this. And when we talk about the fourth dimension being in our face, this is the kind of crap we're talking about, pardon my Anunnaki, where pornography, child pornography, mass rape, mass violence, if it feels good, do it, right? I guess. That seems to be the message. And what they've done is they've tapped into the lizard part of the brain of all these progressives, of all these raping immigrants, all these social justice warriors, and turn them loose as a proxy army to bring about all this change. And because they control the media, they control academia, they control the security services and law enforcement, they can get away with it, and they can push their wretched agendas. Here's another bit of fourth dimensional lunacy. Teen Vogue recently came out with an article promoting anal sex amongst teenagers. And there's this gal that wrote the article. What's her name? Gigi Engel, Marx Engels, Engels Marx. It's all the same. Gigi Engel. And she begins her tutorial with a statement. When it comes to your body, it's important that you have the facts. Being in the dark is not doing your sexual health or self-understanding any favors. This is Anal 101 for teens, beginners, and all inquisitive folk. This is from an article in Breitbart. She nevertheless plunges ahead, defending anal sex as, quote, a perfectly natural way to engage in sexual activity, unquote. Yeah, if you're locked up in some prison somewhere, maybe. Though Engel asserts, quote, enthusiastic consent is necessary for both parties to enjoy anal sex, the reality is that many of Teen Vogue's readers are under the age of consent. Underlined three times. Under the age of consent. That's why it's called Teen Vogue. God, this is the Frankfurt School written all over it. Just corrupt and debased and debauched society. So people of all ages just wind up being hedonistic, self-indulgent, sex-crazed morons, just, you know, being led to the slaughter. And the article goes on to say, and this again, this is from the Breitbart.com, and while she does provide the perfunctory warning to her teen students that condoms will help to protect against sexually transmitted infections, Engel spends much more time teaching them which lube to use and how to insert sex toys into their butts to, quote, warm up for, quote, larger objects, unquote. Engel acknowledges to her young students who might be grossed out at the thought of coming into contact with someone else's, quote, poop, that, yes, quote, you will come in contact with some fecal matter, but she then wags her finger at any teen who has a problem with that. Quote, you are entering a butthole, she writes. It is where poop comes out. Expecting to do anal play and see zero poop isn't particularly realistic. It's not a big deal. She capitalizes not. It's not a big deal. Everyone poops. Everyone has a butt. In other words, just unclench, right? Just take it up the wazoo and shut up about it. That's the message. And I'll get to the Luciferian occult aspect of this in a moment. The fact is, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention states, quote, anal sex is the riskiest sexual behavior for getting and transmitting HIV for men and women. For once, the CDC says something correct. The CDC continues, being a receptive partner during anal sex is the highest risk sexual activity for getting HIV. The bottom's risk of getting HIV is very high because the lining of the rectum is thin and may allow HIV to enter the body during anal sex. The insertive partner, the cornhole-er as opposed to the cornhole-e, is also at risk for getting HIV during anal sex. HIV may enter the top partner's body through the opening at the tip of the penis or urethra, or through small cuts, scratches, or open sores on the penis. The agency also warns against the dangers of contracting other sexually transmitted diseases, such as chlamydia, gonorrhea, through anal sex, etc., etc., etc. And what's interesting is the liberal so-called media, really just the Frankfurt School, the Wurlitzer organ, Frank Wisner Sr., he was this unbalanced, unhinged, originally Office of Policy Coordination operative. That was one of the predecessors to the CIA. The policy planning staff, if memory serves, was under the State Department. They had their own in-house black ops capability, because in the old days, the State Department did a lot of the black ops or organs therein. And they had an organization called the OPC, Office of Policy Coordination, run by Frank Wisner Sr. and Frank was in her senior, we used to send all these operatives into places like Albania, where they'd immediately be captured and done away with by the communist security forces, because the guy he was making the plans with was Kim Philby, a notorious KGB mole running MI6 in Washington, D.C. at the time. Anyway, the point of relevance is that Frank Wisner Sr., who eventually supposedly committed suicide, he may have been suicided, who knows, he referred to the controlled corporate media as a mighty Wurlitzer organ that just plays all these tunes that the Spinmeisters craft, the Spinmeisters devise to fool the public, to fool everybody. The mighty Wurlitzer, right? And so that's what we have today. It's the same mighty Wurlitzer, but now a lot of it often is not as spewing out all this Frankfurt School debauchery, scumbaggery, and everything else. And the Frankfurt Wurlitzer leftist cultural Marxist media is screaming, oh, these people who have a problem with Teen Vogue with their anal sex tutorial, get a grip. Oh, I thought it was Unclench. Make up your mind, right? They're saying, oh, you know, just lighten up, right? You're just being old-fashioned. Oh, there's this Christian activist mom, and she's going around saying this is all evil, yada, yada, yada. And the leftist cultural Marxist media is all making a big deal now about, oh, look at these uptight people, these anally retentive people that are up in arms about this, you know, groundbreaking, pioneering, awesome article about the importance of teens understanding anal sex, written by Gigi Engels, or Engel, whatever the hell her name is. Engels, Marx, Engels, all the same. But that's another example of the fourth dimension in your face. There's a culture, there's rather an occultic dynamic. And occultic, remember, only means hidden. Doesn't necessarily mean bad or satanic or Luciferian, but hidden. And one of the things that you have to understand, folks, is that as these people go up through these fraternal orders, through these secret societies, and I'm talking about ones that delve into arcane dark arts, sooner or later, if they want to advance high up the chain, higher up the hierarchy, they're going to have to be a cornholy, you know, pardon my Anunnaki, you know, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but it's part of these rituals where eventually they're going to have to receive anal sex because, and there's a, not just an esoteric spiritual component, but it comes down to the bioenergetic aspect too. There are all kinds of nerve endings around the sphincter, the rectum, which lead directly up the spinal column to the crown chakra, etc., etc. And this is why they, when they do a lot of trauma-based mind control on children, sadly, horribly, they perform anal rape on them, and not just with, you know, anal re-raping them, but they use foreign objects too. And the idea is to traumatize their brain by traumatizing their rectums, because all the nerve endings there. And so when you have an adept, and let's say for our example, a garden variety reptilian Draco hybrid adept or magus, who in a ritualistic fashion sodomizes someone else like a protege, some kind of Padawan learner who wants to work his way up the system, right? He's imbuing, not only is there a kundalini energetic aspect, there's a spiritual dynamic too. Because whatever entities are working through and hosting that adept who's sodomizing the person who wants to move up in the system in a given ritual, a coming of age, if you will, that person is imbuing all kinds of energy, all kinds of entities, all kinds of demons into that person who's being sodomized. That's how it works. So when Teen Vogue comes along, oh yeah, you know, we just want to teach these kids about anal sex. There's a fracking Luciferian, Talmudic, Kabbalistic element to that. A lot of these adepts that you hear about that pollute places like Skull and Bones and other places, this is what they do. They engage in anal sex precisely for the esoteric slash energetic slash spiritual slash Luciferian aspect. It's the key component behind it all, right? And now these sewer scum are just promoting anal sex in teen vogue. Welcome to the fourth dimension. And all we get out of it is a lousy t-shirt, right? So, again, we're talking about the fourth dimension in your face. Here is another story along the same vein. And this actually goes back to the days of the Obama administration. It's a story about how the school districts in Fairfax, Virginia will start to teach, beginning at kindergarten on up, gender studies, same-sex marriage, gay love, etc., etc. So at an early age, they're grooming these children to question their own gender. Oh, you're not a boy, you're not a girl. There's 52 different genders for you to choose from, right? And all of them have equal rights. All of them are victims, because study what victimology is. The whole concept of victimology was created, no surprise, by an Israeli lawyer, Benjamin Mendelsohn. And this is what the Britannica.com website says about victimology. Victimology, branch of criminology that scientifically studies the relationship between an injured party and an offender by examining the causes and the nature of the consequent suffering. Specifically, victimology focuses on whether the perpetrators were complete strangers, mere acquaintances, friends, family members, or even intimates, and why a particular prison or place was targeted. Criminal victimization may inflict economic cost, i.e. reparations, right? Physical injuries and psychological harm. It goes on to say, victimology first emerged in the 1940s and 50s when several criminologists, notably Hans von Hentig, Benjamin Mendelsohn, the aforementioned Benjamin Mendelsohn, and Henry Ellenberger, examined victim-offender interactions and stressed reciprocal influences, key point there, and role reversals. These pioneers raised the possibility that certain individuals who suffered wounds and losses might share some degree of responsibility with the lawbreakers for their own misfortunes. For example, the carelessness of some motorists made the task of thieves easier. Reckless behavior on the part of intoxicated customers in a bar and provocation by some brawlers caused confrontations to escalate to the point where the instigator was injured or even killed. More controversially, women were sometimes said to bear some responsibility for misunderstandings that evolved into sexual assaults. Fast forward to today, raping migrants. Oh, look, there's a woman. I can see her forearm skin. She's asking for it. Let's attack her, right? More controversially, women were sometimes said to bear some responsibility for misunderstandings that evolved into sexual assaults. By systematically investigating the actions of victims, costly mistakes could be identified and risk reduction strategies could be discerned. Furthermore, those who stressed the culpability of injured parties for their victimization, such as defense attorneys, tended to argue in favor of mitigating the punishment for offenders, which we're seeing now, like this poor family, I think in Idaho, their 5-year-old little white girl was sexually assaulted by three Muslim migrants. They raped her, they urinated on her, they even went to the trouble, these psychopath reptiles, of filming, videotaping the whole sordid event and then posting it online. But still, that's not enough proof. That's not enough proof for the tribalist collectivist system. So they were let go, right? That's how they roll. So what's happening clearly to me is when you have this system where in the schools, gender studies, and it's a big nebulous umbrella, gender studies and all the sordid, debauched things that come under that rubric. And we just talked about how in Teen Vogue magazine they're promoting anal sex, etc., etc. Well, we're seeing the same thing in the classrooms and have been seeing the same things in the classrooms. So they're sexualizing these children and they're turning them into victims. And because of this bogus, patently bogus concept of victimology that was created by the tribalist collectivists, go figure, basically making the victims responsible for their victimhood, victimization. And now, being taught from an early age, oh, you know, gender identity, gay sex, same-sex marriages, all forms of different sexual deviances, deviancy is being promoted as being normal. So they're being groomed. They're being groomed as victims, as being the objects of and the prey of pedophilia, pedophiles. But the way the system is jerry-rigged, the way the social sciences are created, this victimology will lead to all these people being sexually assaulted by all these raping immigrants, being preyed upon by child kidnapping rings, by mind control cults, etc., etc. But based on the victimology standard, well, you know, the victims are responsible. They made it all happen. They're responsible for what happened to them. That's how crazy it is. Again, fourth dimension in your face. So, you know, I'm trying to make a point here that, and those people, that those of you that are in America, you better, especially in America, because Europe, unless something radically beneficial happens to the citizens of Europe and white Europe in particular, you're going to go the way of South Africa, and Europe is already going that way, and other places in the Caucasian white world, they're going the way of South Africa. And those of you in America, man, it's like they're going to, by hook and crook, do everything they can to disarm you, and don't let them do it, because that's your last line of defense from all these raping immigrants, from all these crazy perps at all levels. And they're going to pull out all the stops now, all these false flags, all these fake engineered shootings with real or not real victims. They're really going to pull out all the stops now because they want all of you. I mean, just look how defenseless the Europeans are. Where, I mean, it's pathetic and it's sad, where Germans are lining up to buy, like, hunting knives. They're going, you know, to buy, they're buying pepper spray. They're buying anything with which to protect themselves because they've been disarmed, because they're part of the EU, and they've been disarmed, right? And don't let that happen to you, those of you that are in America, because that's the last thing you have to hold on to as far as protecting yourself and your family is concerned. Oh, and here's a disclaimer. Don't anyone come up to me chirping about how much of a homophobe I am, because I have dear, dear friends that are gay, that are homosexual. I know two gals that are in a happy, happy lesbian relationship. I love them dearly. They're dear friends of mine. They happen to be South African, so they know what that's all about, the whole white genocide in South Africa. So don't anyone come up to me chirping about being a homophobe, because homie, don't play that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an agenda to unleash all these perps of all stripes, and they're going after everyone within reach because those people that are going to be the victims have already been profiled as such. Already blamed the victim due to this whole bogus victimology. And then we have the cultural relativism, moral relativism movement, right? There's some communities still in Pakistan where if the wife outlives the man, the husband, well, she's got a roast on the funeral pyre too. And we're supposed to just say, well, you know, that's just their culture. It's neither here nor there. It's not wrong. It's not right. That's just the way they are. Cultural relativism. No, just because the lady outlived Tarzan, there's no reason to burn her on Tarzan's funeral pyre. There's something inherently, intrinsically wrong about that that spans all times, all cultures, all societies. And again, this whole cultural relativism, moral relativism, oh, you know, these raping immigrants, that's just their culture, right? We've been groomed by that for decades now. Victimology, cultural relativism, moral relativism. It's not wrong what they're doing. It's just their culture. It was all an agenda to set the stage for what's going on now. Another headline in InfoWars is that, once again, raping immigrants have turned a German festival, a German fest, into a rape fest. And this is so common nowadays, it's not even funny. Just recently, I just saw in the news today, there was a father in Perth, Australia. There was some bearded immigrant Muslim lasciviously eyeing and trying to coerce the guy's young daughter into getting into a car with him. And the father ran out, stopped it in its tracks, this attempted abduction, right? And they show a picture of both the, they must have gotten it from the, I'm guessing from the CCTV from the gas station or the service station, whatever it was. But they blurred out the face of the immigrant. But you could clearly see he's got a Muslim beard, a long Muslim beard, and he's got the Muslim hat thing going on, right? And then they have the little the face of a little girl all blurred out too, because obviously they want to, preserve the anonymity of the child. But for whatever reason, you know, instead of going all Amber Alert and letting everyone know what this perp looks like who tried to run off with this little girl, oh no, because he's a Muslim, we can't do that, right? You have all these ridiculous double standards. This girl in Denmark, I think I talked about this, she got arrested because she used pepper spray to fight off, you know, raping Muslim immigrants. And now the latest development in Germany is that once again, all these raping immigrants have been turned loose and attacked a German festival. Well, here's where the twain meets, where the police brutality, and remember, this is the Israeli model of recruiting these unhinged, reptilian hybrid, psychopath cops and empowering them, engendering a lot of fear and knee-jerk desire to just shoot to kill in them, and they or basically order them and encourage them to kill dogs because they know from a psychological, supernatural, spiritual standpoint it fosters the reptilian bloodlust in them. Virtually all serial killers start out torturing and killing little furry animals, be they dogs, cats, rodents, squirrels, whatever the case may be. From an early age, they had the bloodlust going, the reptilian demon entity-infested bloodlust going. And so when they turn these cops loose and they, you know, have them shoot all these dogs for fun is basically what it amounts to. They don't even use the excuse, oh, I was in fear for my life anymore. When you see these videos of these cops, they just pull their pistol out, la-di-da-da, just another day at the office, and they point the gun at a dog wagging its tail at them, right? Pop, pop, dead dog. And they don't even bother to say, I was in fear for my life. Oh, the chihuahua was lunging for my weapon. They don't even bother with that anymore. They just kill them because they know they can get away with it. And to them, they just get all excited. And it's a sexual turn-on for them. It's the sadistic, reptilian hybrid, Draco hybrid sexual turn-on. The godlike power to take a life, any life, whether it's, you know, pulling the wings off a fly, killing a toad, killing a rodent, killing a dog, brutalizing and killing humans. And this is what they want. It's all Israeli training in the law enforcement in America. It's all shoot to kill. Everything is a threat. And now what's happened, and this is probably going to be swept under the rug, okay? This is where the twain meets of the raping immigrants and the Israeli police training, shoot to kill, shoot dogs for fun, kill people, okay? It's in the news all over Australia, but this happens so often in America that if it wasn't an Australian, if it was not an Australian woman, it wouldn't even be really noteworthy except for the families affected. There was a Australian national woman, Justine Ruzick Damond. She was living in Minneapolis, Minnesota with her fiancé and her stepson, her soon-to-be stepson. She made the fatal mistake of calling the police, calling 911 at 11:30 at night and reporting that she heard strange sounds. Maybe there was a prowler, maybe there was a burglar. Long story short, she's standing in her front yard, a cop pulls up, and she leans over, is talking to the cop in the driver's seat, and the cop in the passenger seat casually leans across and shoots this woman, dressed in her pajamas, in her nightdress, kills her right in her own front yard. And here's where the twain meets. The officer is named Mohammed Noor, M-O-H-A-M-E-D, last name Noor, was allegedly sitting in the passenger seat of a police car when he leaned over and shot across his partner and killed this young woman. Now, we just talked about how casually they kill dogs and casually they kill people, right? Now, this woman, this Aussie woman, poor Aussie woman, bride-to-be, she was shot dead in her pajamas. She probably wasn't aware how dangerous it is in America for people to call the police for any reason. Because what happens is, in general, I'm just talking about the white psychopaths, okay? The white psychopaths, the Hispanic psychopaths that are recruited into American law enforcement and they're all trained in the Israeli style of just murder and mayhem. And how this kind of call, 11:30 at night, suspected prowler, that gives them the excuse to shoot anyone and anything in sight. A guy down the street could be working in his garage late at night, doesn't matter, pop, pop, dead. A guy could be coming out of his own backyard, you know, with, you know, pulling on garbage cans, doesn't matter, pop, pop, dead. And that's what happened to this woman. She was in her front yard, cop showed up, she's leaning over, talking to the cop in the driver's seat, and this sewer scum, a Somali-American police officer, reaches across and shoots this woman down. Okay, we have this Somali immigrant, a woman-hating immigrant, anyway, right? And he's been in power, he hates women, he loves to kill them. Obviously, he just did it. Nobody can say he doesn't like to kill women because he just did it. And what's going to happen? You know, we're having the fake crocodile tears from the mayor of Minneapolis and the chief of police. Oh, it's a tragedy. The word tragedy is the most overused, overblown word. And it's often utilized to whitewash blatant murder, blatant crime, blatant, acts of felonious criminal behavior. Oh, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. No, it was a murder. Because they let in this migrant, and he winds up being a police officer, and then he shoots this woman for no reason in her front yard. If this woman was not an Australian, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. Because it happens so often in America. And the fact of the matter is, last I checked, it's white people that are getting gunned down more often, even than black people in America. Because the cops just go around blasting everything in sight. Time and time and time again, you hear about someone watering his lawn, you know, in his own front yard, pop, pop, dead. Somebody working in their own garage at night, pop, pop, dead. Right? And that's what they want. They want to turn loose these psychopaths. And here's where the twain meets. Immigrant Somali American, okay, and they show him here in this family picture with all these women, you know, wearing the head, you know, the headdresses, and right, and we already know from Europe, from Australia, from the UK, everywhere where they've turned loose the raping immigrants, that the raping immigrants, they don't even let them off with a slap on the wrist anymore, they just let them out. It's tacit encouragement. Just keep raping these people. Keep assaulting these little children. Keep going around like it's an insult to wild animals to call them wild animals. They're demon-infested, entity-infested sewer scum. And it's a rape invasion. I mean, think of the Soviet Red Army invading the Eastern and Central Europe. Think of the Pakistani army invading Bangladesh and the rape invasion there. Think about the Japanese Imperial Army in 1937, Nanking, the rape of Nanking. But it's happening in all these different countries at once. And now you're seeing cops that are from these raping, woman-hating, child-abusing countries, and they're being empowered, given weapons, made into police officers. It's just the fourth dimension right in your face. And again, every time we talk about these immigrants in America in particular, but also in the UK and elsewhere, when you see this, that, or the other type of immigrant, usually there was some kind of war that dislodged them from their old countries, and then they just start flooding into the country that usually invaded them. It doesn't even make sense, like in a normal planet. I mean, like they go and they mess with all these people and wipe them all out in another country, then they start bringing them over. It's like, you know, why do you want to bring all these pissed off people to your own country when you've destroyed their country? And then they have these people that are brought over that do not want to assimilate. They have a culture of rape, a culture of hatred, a culture of violence. But there I go, you know, trying to inject logic into this again. And over and over and over, these raping immigrants are just, they're not even slapping on the wrist, like I said. Just the other day, like, I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but in Perth, Australia, a white man, noticed that there was a Muslim immigrant with a long beard, and a Muslim headdress, was trying to entice his little daughter into a car, you know, to take the little girl away and do who knows what to the little girl, right? He stopped this in its tracks. He stopped it from happening, right? And they showed pictures of the perp and the little girl. They had the little girl's face blurred out. They must have. I'm wondering if it came from the CCTV at the service station or the gas station, whatever it was. But I understand why they would blur out the little girl's face, you know, because she's a minor. But they blur out the face of the perp too. You can clearly see he's got the long Muslim beard. His coloration, his ethnicity is apparent. He's a migrant, right, an immigrant. And you can see he's wearing one of those Morocco mole type Muslim headdresses. Clearly he's a Muslim. But why do they blur out his face? Because they don't want him to get in trouble. That's why. They want him to continue going around raping little girls and assaulting and abducting them. That's what they want. It's the fourth dimension. So this is where we're at today. And what I would encourage everybody out there to do is learn self-defense. Learn unarmed combat. Because sooner or later, this is going to wind up in the front doors of a lot of people. The politicians here in Australia, they just decided, no, we're not going to have a ban on the amount of immigrants. We're not going to have a ceiling, rather, on how many Muslim immigrants we're going to bring in. We're going to bring in as many as we want, right? That's what they're saying. That's what's going on. Okay, here's the backstory part of this. I mentioned earlier that I was going to talk about something that happened in the past in order to shed some more light on what's going on today. I mean, I brought us up to date with, you know, the really horrific case of blatant murder. Nothing's going to happen to that Somali cop. And remember, the only reason there's Somalis in America is because they had all these oil companies in Somalia. They already carved out these provinces, made them up out of whole cloth. Think of the Katanga succession in the Congo, or think of Darfur, where they just draw a line in the sand. Oh, now this is a province that wants to succeed from this other country. We're going to protect these people because they're being oppressed by their government, so they can form their own province. But really, the so-called new province happens to be where all these mineral resources are, and that was the case with Somalia. Right, they created these two provinces out of whole cloth, and then the guy who was the defense minister for the previous regime IED'd. He was scapegoated by the West. He was a defense minister for the previous regime in Somalia. And then what happened, of course, was the CIA and British intelligence, etc., they began financing the Islamic terrorist fundamentalists in Somalia and then turned it into a war-torn state once again, headed towards failed state status. Of course, the media spun it all around. And then you have movies like Black Hawk Down. Oh, they're there to, you know, because this warlord IED'd, he's withholding food from his people, the Somalis, and he's using food as a weapon, there's famine over there, yada, yada, yada. No, that's not what happened. IED'd was standing up against Western corporate interest, and they financed all these and armed all these Islamic terrorist groups there in Somalia, turned them loose, and then had the media accuse IED'd of starving his own people, torturing them. We've heard this all before. And so eventually had the whole Black Hawk Down meltdown. And nowadays, of course, you know, there's the place is even more overrun with terrorists and Islamic fundamentalists, Somalia. And they've been bringing a lot of the latter into the U.S. and other places. And then they wind up being American cops where they just shoot women because they hate women, of course. Remember that. They shoot blonde-haired women standing in their own front yard in the middle of the night wearing pajamas. That's, you know, follow the bouncing ball, right? That's how Somalis wound up in America because they destabilized it. They created all these warring factions. Well, remember the Anders Breivik case back, 2011, I think it was. What happened was, what the media tells us is that this Islamic-hating guy, right? And remember, the powers that be, that wanna be, the Kabbalist, Talmudic types, tribalist, collectivists, and all their flunkies at all different levels, they like to speak and think and write in opposites, right? So they created this legend, as the old KGB called it, this backstory about how Breivik was this Muslim-hating, immigrant-hating person, and he was in a new version of the Knights Templars, and I'm sure that made all these conspiracy, you know, researchers start foaming at the mouth. And the fact that he hated Muslims, yada, 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 no, that was just a backstory. What was going on was Norway was at the forefront of the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement amongst nations vis-a-vis Israel. And there was a very strong keep these raping immigrants out of our country movement in Norway. So what they do is they create this patsy, this plastic face patsy, Anders Breivik, and then they have him supposedly blow up this government building and then shoot up all those kids. And remember, a lot of those kids were part of that organization that was behind the movement to divest and boycott Israel. They were behind the movement to keep Norway a white country and stop all this Kodenhove, Kalergi, mass rape immigration, right? Who does this benefit? And there was a guy, the scholar, named John Galtung, a sociologist, and he said straight up that this was all to do with, you know, the tribalist collectivists. He noted that the same date, July 22nd, when Anders Breivik was alleged to have done all these shootings of the children and blown up that building in the Norwegian government, July 22nd is the same date when the King David Hotel in Jerusalem was blown up by terrorists. And take your pick. Who was it? Ergun, Stern Gang, who knows, right? One of those types. The underground Jewish movement Ergun is often, you know, described as being behind that. And then also the fact that on the same date, July 22nd, the Knights Templar recovered the Holy Land, or parts of it, from the so-called infidels. It was never referred to as the Holy Land until recent times. Back then, in the days of the Crusades, it was known as Outremer, the land beyond the sea. Most of the knights in those days were French. That was in 1099. So on 1099, July 22nd, the Knights Templars came in and they recaptured Jerusalem. But, you know, that was followed by a slaughter also of a lot of the Muslims there and a lot of other people that happened to be there. It's a whole other story. So there's a backstory. But the bottom line is, cui bono, who does it benefit? Who benefits? The bottom line is, now they've made it out in Norway and other Scandinavian countries. If you are like a white, pasty-faced, blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy who hates Muslims and is anti-immigration, well, that's tantamount to being a terrorist, right? That's the real message. And of course, as is the case with so many of these other patsies, Anders Breivik allegedly wrote this screed, this manifesto, where he talks about how they have to stand up to the Islamic wave that wants to form a caliphate around the world, and that the white people of the world need to stand up to that. See, they're speaking in opposites, folks, because that's what they want. When these think tank talking heads and wonks in the think tanks and in the TV news journalist programs, when they talk about a clash of civilizations, right? These quackademics, the clash of civilizations. That goes back to what Albert Pike talked about. And remember, Freemasonry, as we understand it, was created by the Talmudic types. It was clearly a creation of the tribalist collectivists, the Talmudic types, as a means to infiltrate governments, monarchies all over the place, and create sedition, create revolution, etc., etc., etc. In France, they were known as Jacobins, but really it was, you know, this Freemasonic movement that was really created by the tribalist collectivists. And so when you read Anders Breivik's rant about how the white nations need to stand up against the caliphate, the approaching Islamic caliphate, and how they're going to fight against the Islamic tidal wave that's engulfing the whole world, they're speaking in opposites because that's what they really want to happen. And they're using this pasty-faced guy, Anders Breivik. He looks mind-controlled from here to there. They're using him as the voice to get that message out, and it falls in line with the Clash of Civilizations creed. What's that quackademic's name? Samuel Huntington. It goes back, you know, and that's not even too long ago, Albert Pike talking about a third world war pitting Christianity and Islam. They're telling you what the agenda is. They want to create this caliphate, but under their control ultimately. Just as they control the Ottoman Empire, just as they control the Young Turks, just as they control the Muslim Brotherhood, just as they've controlled Hamas and all these various splinter groups of you know, these the PLO, etc., etc. It's all about control, right? So keep that point in mind. It's interesting how when you go back and you look in hindsight and of how Anders Breivik was set up, how all those kids were massacred, and eyewitnesses said there were multiple shooters. We've heard this before in other shootings, real shootings when people were killed, that there were multiple shooters, not just Anders Breivik. They have Breivik standing there posing with the Knights Templar outfits and, again, making a lot of the conspiracy types foam at the mouth. Oh, Knights Templars, right? They make him stand there in some kind of frogman outfit in some of these pictures. No different from Cho, the alleged shooter in Virginia Tech, having his video rants. They always have a legend. They always have a backstory for these creeps because they're disposable. Well, anyhow, we've reached the end of this week's segment of the commentaries on the cosmic wars. So, wherever you may be, dear listeners, whatever you may be doing, have a very pleasant time, and we'll see you next time.